This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين أما بعد اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وعملا يا كريم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. All praises belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we seek His assistance and we seek His guidance subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evils of our souls and the adverse consequences of our deeds. Whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees guidance upon, then none can misguide him. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees misguidance upon, then none can guide him. And peace and salutations be upon the final messenger, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I bear witness that there is no one worthy of worship besides one Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger. May Allah gather us with him in Jannah. Ameen. Brothers and sisters, welcome to the 27th night of Ramadan. And welcome to the final episode of part one of the Meccan era in this series, A Blast from the Past, Seerah in the 21st Century. Indeed, we feel a range of emotions because, subhanallah, we have Eid in front of us. But we know that the month of Ramadan is about to depart us. And we feel a range of emotions as well because our nightly sittings with the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is about to come to an end. But remember, brothers and sisters, that whilst the lessons or the nightly sessions might come to an end, the lessons are still there with you all from the previous 2 to 3 weeks for you to ponder over, for you to benchmark yourselves against, for you to grow your abilities and become better, for you to revive and bring into your life, alhamdulillah. So the nightly sessions might end, but the journey with the seerah continues, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Allahumma laka alhamd, kama yanbaghi li jalali wajhik wa azimi sultanik. Laka alhamd, hatta tarda. Walaka alhamd, idha radit. Walaka alhamd, ba'da al-rida. Indeed, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all of praises. All of praises, hamd. They all belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do you think, brothers and sisters? Is tonight the night? Wallahu a'lam. Allah knows best. What do you feel, I'm asking? You feel Allah knows best? He feels Allah knows best. What does anybody else feel? Is anybody feeling it could be the night? I see the heaters are switched off, subhanallah. And just yesterday or the day before, it was 0 degrees here. I mean, it's cold every night, but do you not feel tonight there's just this unique feeling? I mean, there's no bite in the wind. There's no bite in the cold. Wallahu a'lam. During Taraweeh, every day people are moving heaters up and down, making sure they're switched on, changing the gas bottles. Today, people were switching them off after 4 rak'ah. Did you not notice? Allah knows best. It's Thursday night, it's special. It's an odd night, it's special. It's not just an odd night, it's the 27th night. Allah knows best. Yes, we search for the nights throughout the last 10 nights of Ramadan. And we know that our scholars say especially during the odd nights. And they say especially during the 27th night. Because of how the evidences have come to us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those that have witnessed the night of power if it did indeed happen. Perhaps on the 23rd night. And if it hasn't and is yet to come, then may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us to witness it. Ameen. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen. Brothers and sisters, before we start the final session, I have in front of me a trophy. Can you see this trophy? Anybody's wondering why is this trophy on this table tonight? This trophy is a trophy that is given to first place only. What happens whenever I come to Melbourne? I try, and it's important, right? It's important for, on an organizational level, for the team members and directors and line managers and so on and so forth to do some, you know, other tasks together. Not only arranging conferences and lessons and so on and so forth. Different, they are lessons, but different type of lessons. And subhanAllah, Allah has blessed me that every time I come first. I beat them. Alhamdulillah. So they said, you know what, we need to take him go-karting this time. First time it was archery, the next time it was ice skating, right? People who've ice skated, they were dropping on the ice like a sack of potatoes. Alhamdulillah, I did not. So they said, this time, go-karting. And subhanAllah, in the team, secretly, stealth mode, without anyone knowing, there's a superstar driver. But they didn't want to say anything about it. What can we do? So, alhamdulillah, we went out today after Dhuhr Salah, between Dhuhr and Asr, to, mashallah, some amazing go-karting track somewhere in Melbourne, somewhere far away. And they said, what package should we get? I said, well, the more the merrier, get the gold package, 4 races, you know, gold package. And we went about racing. Subhanallah, this person all of a sudden from nowhere is just leaving us in his dust. Leaving us in his dust. I said, Khair, the last race is coming. First race, I was shocked. Didn't expect this. I wish he worked this hard in our team. No, he does, mashallah. Second round, I was third. And these were just time rounds, you know, testing the waters, warming up the tires, getting used to the track. Then they gave us a third round as well. I was third, but I wouldn't say cheating because it's the month of Ramadan, we're giving benefit of the doubt. But there were a couple of low blows in how the race happened, you know, like accelerating before the flag and so on and so forth. Khair. Round 4, I said, I'm going to come to him with something he's never experienced in his life. You know what I came to him with? Istighfar. Before the race started, till the race ended, istighfar. And lo and behold, he was in the front. And he's a very good driver. I'm behind. So right through, I'm chasing him. But istighfar always comes through. Just before the end, he spun out of control, went off the track. And I came first, alhamdulillah, deservingly. Got the trophy. So I thought during our last session, I must parade the trophy before it leaves Melbourne, Australia. MashaAllah, may Allah bring our hearts together. This is good on an organizational level, that you take your teams out and you have recreational exercises, you know? Recreation. Next time I told them that, look, I don't want to stress you guys out. We'll go fishing, inshallah, next time. Alhamdulillah. May Allah bless our brothers and sisters. Wallahi, our team, the team is special. Wallahi, and that's why I'm telling you, brothers, support this place. These brothers are working hard, wallahi. And I tell you, I've seen them take time off work for the work at this Medina. Or they come back from work, and throughout the nights, they're working. Their families are at home, subhanallah. Right? Whilst the masses are at home with their families, they're here. So that tomorrow's event that you can attend and benefit from, free event, happens successfully. Allahu Akbar. Look at the iftar and the programs that are happening. Right? These last 10 nights, it's been amazing. I mean, yesterday, mashallah, the Medina experienced a stampede of people for iftar, mashallah. They ran out of food, right? And the brothers left the iftar making sure that the food came in so they could feed our brothers and sisters. Right? You see the brothers and sisters in the bathroom area cleaning, making sure it's clean. Right? MashaAllah. And they do it with a smile, alhamdulillah. They do it with a smile. And I think we've all experienced this. They're good people, MashaAllah. And I hardly come to them given the nature of some of the other activities that I have. So it's important when we come that we do this with our people. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also had soft moments with the Sahaba. This is how you build team morale. It's important. Khair. Yesterday, brothers and sisters, before the end of our session, we were discussing the third tactic of the Quraysh against the Muslims. Pressurizing, first turning a blind eye didn't work. So they had to give the situation their eye. How did they give the situation their eye? By pressurizing Abu Talib. It didn't work. Secondly, character assassination. It didn't work. Thirdly, physical harm. On top of the character assassination, physical harm. On top of the character assassination, physical harm. So this is what they did. And I shared with you scenario after scenario after scenario. Not only Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but also his companions. Imagine him, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who knows that it is his message that was the means of their guidance and they're facing the persecution. Imagine how this was on him as well, right? Imagine how this was on him as well. This is what he had to witness. So the Quraysh went full out with physical harm. Full out. And this caused necessary reactions. It caused necessary reactions. And we will see it in today's lesson, because today's lesson, or towards the end, we want to discuss the migration to Al-Habasha. This migration happened because of the persecution. It was getting out of hand. So physical harm came in. And that's where we stopped at yesterday. And we know that the nature of our lessons together is we have lessons from everything that we discuss. So what lessons can we take from the physical harm? We discussed the propaganda and lessons we can get from it. Remember that? Right? What can we get into today? How can we benefit from the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Well, firstly, brothers and sisters, we learn the lesson of counting our blessings. Counting our blessings. Wallahi, we are Muslims, born Muslims and reverts, new Muslims, alhamdulillah, but we don't have to go through what the Sahaba radiallahu anhum went through, what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam went through. And do you know how you understand a blessing? You understand it in two ways. Firstly, by learning history. And this was what we opened this series with, the importance of studying history, learning the way of the people before. It's very important. When the Sahaba were being persecuted, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would direct them to the people that were persecuted before for saying La ilaha illallah Muhammad, for saying La ilaha illallah, for saying there is no one worthy of worship besides one Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would teach them how they were persecuted, a way far more severe than what they were facing. History helps you understand your blessings. Sometimes you're in a difficulty, but when you look back at history, you start seeing your difficulty as a blessing in comparison to those before. It's a blessing. It could have been worse. So we recognize blessings by studying history. And this is the Quranic narrative as well, because we know Surah Yusuf, for example, was revealed during the hardest times, after Khadija passed away, after Abu Talib passed away, after he was stoned at Ta'if sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the most difficult of times. And they said, "Lo qasasta lana." If you can, you perhaps share with us stories. Perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the story of Yusuf to ease the difficulty upon the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That Yusuf alayhi salam and Yaqub alayhi salam, they were tested for more than 50 years. Allah knows best. A rough calculation. More than 50 years. But they came out on top. So don't lose hope, O believers. It's only 5 years. It's only 10 years. It's only 23 years. Don't lose hope. Ala inna nasr Allahi qareeb. Indeed, the help of Allah is near. So we understand a blessing by firstly studying history. And then what's the second thing? By benchmarking ourselves to the people of the past and what they had to go through. Understand this, brothers and sisters. Even fasting, the way we fast is different to how other people fasted. This fast is a mercy. People say, Subhanallah, fasting, it's hard. Wallahi, it's easy. It's easy. Consider how the fasting of the people before. We know some Christians, their fast is if they have iftar, the moment they eat the last morsel of iftar, the fast begins again. Do you know this? There are some Christians who fast this way. This is their fasting. And our Sharia has made it forbidden for us to fast continuously. We have to have the iftar. And then Allah says, فَكُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا فَكُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَكُمُ الْخَيْطُ الْأَبْيَضُ مِنَ الْخَيْطِ الْأَسْوَدِ مِنَ الْفَجَرِ مِنَ الْفَجَرِ That eat and drink until true dawn appears. ثُمَّ أَتِمُّ الصِّيَامِ إِلَى اللَّيْلِ And then fast till the night. Alhamdulillah. Right? So we recognize the situation of the people before through studying history and then benchmark ourselves against that. This is how we recognize a blessing. This is the first thing we learn, brothers and sisters. Your situation and my situation in Islam, wallahi, we need to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We take it for granted. Wallahi, we do. We take it for granted the fact that Allah gave us La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. This is not a small thing, brothers and sisters. People were persecuted for it. We have it, alhamdulillah, upon security, upon peace, upon contentment. Don't belittle this gift. Wallahi, the greatest gift you and I have is La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And you know what? Allah gave it to us when we didn't even ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Imagine what Allah can give us if we asked Allah. This is what you have to think, especially in these nights. What do you think your greatest gift is? What do you think your greatest gift is? Your wife? Your children? Zinatul Hayat al-Dunya? The glitter and glamour of this life? Or is it the fact that you have declared the oneness of Allah and accepted the prophecy of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What do you think your greatest gift is? How many of us recognize it as a gift? Wallahi, we wake and sleep and we don't even know that we are carrying the greatest treasure, the treasure of Islam. We have to learn this from this. Fiqh Sirah. How does it apply to us? How does it apply to us? Count your blessings, brothers and sisters. We all must, speaker included first. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive our lack of recognition. Recognition. Wallahi, imagine you give a gift to somebody and you visit them the next time and you see that gift in the dustbin. How would you feel? You give someone a gift. It's human nature. They don't thank you for it. They make as if, you know what, you were supposed to give me that gift. Don't expect to be thanked. Well, what would you say? Say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Give me back my gift. This is what we would say. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قَدْ أَعْطَانَا الْإِسْلَامِ Allah gave us Islam, and we did not ask Allah for it. The greatest treasure. What can Allah give us if we asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And how can we doubt Allah and deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we ask Him and Allah, because of His divine wisdom, chooses to accept our dua in a different way than we anticipate? Not by giving us what we ask for, perhaps removing difficulty, and you and I act in haste and we say Allah's not accepting our dua. Or perhaps Allah wants to give you on the day of Qiyamah when it's needed and we still act in haste and we say Allah didn't accept our dua. This is a type of kufru ni'am. This is a type of being ungrateful. Very important lesson, brothers and sisters. Count your blessings. This is what we learn from the Sahaba's persecution, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's persecution. Secondly, we learn that this life and its luxuries is not the measuring stick to understand right from wrong. It's not. It doesn't mean people in power said something that this is right. It's not the measuring stick. Look what the Quraysh were doing. They agreed, the House of Representatives agreed that we will persecute them. Was this right? No. Yes, they were rich. And the Muslims, they were slave boys. There was Mus'ab ibn Umair who was booted out of his home from rich to poor for Islam. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we know how humble he was sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And who was right and who was wrong? The rich people of power or the people who didn't have so much financial standing or material well-being? Who? The Muslims. We learn this, brothers and sisters. We learn this. This life and its luxuries and the people who possess it is not the measuring stick and the yardstick to understand right from wrong. Yes, if you're in a country and that is the law, you respect it. But does it mean you have to agree that it's right? No. You tolerate it, but do you have to agree that it's right? No. What is right and wrong is what the Quran and the Sunnah teaches us is right and wrong. Is this clear? Na'am. We also learn from this that the haqq and truth is not always with the majority. It's not what the majority feel. That is all. I'm not saying in all cases. I'm saying to say it as a blanket ruling that what the majority want is right. No, not always. Allah says, "Wa in tuti' akthara man fil ardi yudilluka an sabilillah." If you were to follow akthar, the majority voted. If you were to follow the majority on the face of this earth, they will swerve you off the straight path. They will cause misguidance to come into your life. And that's why yesterday I said, you know, be strange. People say, you know, I can't do this, I look funny. Wallahi, you know what? It's good to be strange. The halal strange. Not the wrong strange, don't get me wrong. The halal strange. When you fast and others eat. Majority are eating, you fast. Majority are sleeping, you in tahajjud. Majority don't feel affiliated to the beard, you feel affiliated to it. People say, you know, that guy, he's odd, he's strange. You know what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said? فَطُوبَى لِلْغُرَبَى. Glad tidings to the strange one. To the strange one. The one who's trying to fit in the Quran and the Sunnah, not fit with the majority. And subhanAllah, the Quranic message teaches us that it's always the majority that have a problem. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَشْكُرُونَ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Most of them are not thankful. Most of them do not know. Quran is just. Allah didn't say all of them. Most of them. Allah says, وَمِنْ قَوْمِ مُوسَى أُمَّتُوِ يَهْدُونَ بِالْحَقِّ وَبِهِ يَعْدِلُونَ. Right? The Quran is just. From the people of Musa, Allah said, there's people who are guided and people who are just. The Quran is just. Remember the message about being just. When we speak, we don't say all of people. Right? Sahih Imam al-Ayah. Our Imam read it for us not so many nights ago in Salah. The Quran is just. So we don't say everybody is wrong. And we don't say the majority is always wrong. But we say to say the majority is always right, that is also not correct. They're not always right. There's times when they are wrong. And the Quran has shown us this. This part of the seerah teaches us this. The majority, they were wrong. They were wrong. The haqq was with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the handful of people that were with them. Point number three. What do we learn? Allah could have prevented all this from happening. All this persecution. All this character assassination. Allah could have done it. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never had to have been strangled or his shirt ripped or beaten, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nor the companions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have averted all this. This is a lesson we learn, especially today. How many people are saying, what's happening in Palestine? What's happening? Right? And weakness of iman, they start questioning Allah and they say things which one shouldn't say. They start doubting. Some people, these things happen, they start doubting. Can there be a God? How can a God allow this? Innocent children, innocent this, innocent that. The people who are killing innocent children and women and so on and so forth, blame them. Don't blame Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But let's take the lesson. Could Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not have averted all this harm from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the believers? Yes. But why did it happen still? Divine wisdom. Wisdom that you and I don't understand. And again, let me share with you my example of hailstones. How many times have we shared it? It's the best example that people relate to. It's the best example. Whenever you see something you can't understand, it always looks bad. Know and understand that there's goodness to it that we can't see. And it's up to us to ponder over it some more and find the goodness. In many cases, if you caused your paradigms to transcend the grave, you will see the benefit in it. But if you want to live life till the grave, then yes, it's all doom and gloom. Because the dunya is being taken away. Right? But if you know there's the day of judgment, and people are shaheed, they die innocently, they're martyrs, what's the reward for them? And then all the other benefits that come about, like Muslims giving charity, worshipping Allah in different ways, right? Coming together to announce oppression taking place and the need for justice. This is all from the teachings of Islam. They get rewarded. There's so many goodnesses, but we don't pick up on it. And there's greater goodnesses than this that we will know on the day of Qiyamah. But again, we say we believe in the last day, but we speak as if we don't believe in the last day. Wallahi, a person who starts questioning, how can this happen? How can Allah let this happen? Do you believe in the articles of faith? He says, yes. I say, where's the belief? You believe good and bad fate is from Allah? Yes. You believe in the last day? Yes. So why is your speech of a person who does not believe in the last day? Why? Because you said it with your mouth. It didn't pass your collarbone. It didn't get to your heart. It's just data. It's not processed data, which becomes information. This is the problem with us. Too much data. We can count everything. We can count 6 pillars of Iman, 5 pillars of Islam. This is the wajibat. These are the sunan. We know all the data, but have we processed it so it's become part and parcel of our fabric? Have we done that? Where it governs how we speak, it governs how we think, it governs how we analyze. We got to ask ourselves. Now, there are wisdoms that our scholars have shared with us.